Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Dear saints in Christ, the Apostle Paul this morning in our reading, he says that the days are evil. And maybe you hear that and you think, yeah, no kidding, Paul. I mean, just turn on the news and evil days will be placed right before your very eyes. Across the globe, wickedness seems to flourish. The strong overtake the weak. Religious conviction leads some to strike out against anyone who might disagree with them. Duplicitous politicians acquire high positions of power. The culture seems to be shedding its dusty vestiges of morality at an unprecedented rate. And we can watch it all from the comfort of our own living rooms. We can watch the sky fall as we hear about all the evil out there. And ironically, it's all interspersed with commercials promising products that will distract us or even protect us from that evil. And frankly, maybe that's how we like it. If we can witness all these things from the comfort of our own living rooms, then maybe we can convince ourselves that the evil days out there are precisely that. They are out there. They have nothing to do with me. And yet, we still have our opinions about what to do about these evil days, and we're happy to dole out all kinds of advice. In the church, it usually sounds like this: if only all those wicked people out there would come to know Jesus, then everything would be better. If only they would listen to Paul's words here in this text: be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And maybe we even come to church this morning as an escape, to get away from the evil out there, to find solace and peace in here. And if that's how we read this text, we have missed the point. Because that's not what Paul's talking about. You see, Paul here is writing to the church. Paul is not writing to all of those wicked unbelievers out there. He's writing to the church. He's writing to baptized people like you and like me. And to such people, he says, you look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise people, but as wise people, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Now, why would Paul write to Christians to warn them about how they should walk because the days are evil? Could it be that the darkness which marks these evil days is tempting even to us? So that what should really concern us is not the obvious evil that we see flashing across our TV screens on the evening news, the sound bites that are here in an instant and gone the next, but which give us that little fix of self-righteousness. Rather, what should truly concern us is the subtle sin that is a temptation even in the body of Christ, even right here. Did you know that in this place, gossip happens? In this place, we even treat it like a laughing matter. Did you know that in this place, when we see someone straying in sin, we will often turn a blind eye? Because we're all sinners, after all, who am I to judge? Did you know that in this place, people who eat and drink the body and blood of Christ with one another still hold contempt for each other, and yet act as if everything is okay? It's a far more insidious kind of evil than the evil out there. You see, the days are evil, which means that even you and I in this place are tempted to walk as if we are still living in darkness. A kind of walk that Paul says is very unwise and foolish and not the will of God. Because, after all, you and I aren't in darkness anymore. That's what Paul says. His whole exhortation here about how we are to walk is based upon what God has done to and for the Ephesian church in Christ. Before he warns anybody about how they should walk through these evil days, he first says, therefore. Therefore. And I know I've said it before, but anytime you come across a therefore in Scripture, you need to ask yourself what it's there for, right? All throughout this letter, Paul has declared the wondrous work that God has done for the Ephesian church in Christ. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, 1 verse 4. God predestined us for adoption, 1 verse 5. In Christ's blood, we have redemption by grace, 1 verse 7. We have been given an inheritance in Christ, 1 verse 11. We are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, 1 verse 13. We were dead but are now alive, 2, 1 through 10. We were strangers and aliens but are so no longer. We have been brought near to God, chapter 2, verse 19. Therefore, because of who God has made you in Christ, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise people, says Paul. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. You know, God's will isn't some deep mystery that we have to agonize over and try to figure out. It's clearly laid out in Scripture. His will is this, that by the light of his law, your sin would be exposed for exactly what it is. His will is that you would be granted repentance then, and that you would confess your sin, and that the glorious light of the gospel would come and expose his great mercy to you. That in Christ, all of your sin has been forgiven, without any merit or worthiness in you. That is God's will. And then, yes, God's will is that out of that reality would flow love for one another. Love that looks different than those who walk in darkness. Love that looks different from those who are foolish. Love that begins right here, in this place. That's where Paul goes next. He goes on to talk about the corporate life of the gathered church. He says, don't become drunk on wine, which is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. This is likely a reference to the former life of worship that the Ephesian church was part of in their paganism. Part of their pagan worship was getting drunk on wine. And Paul says, no longer. Now your worship is filled with the Spirit. And what does that worship look like? He goes on. Address one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, the word of God, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always and for everything to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So that what God has done for us in Christ has this way of drawing us back always here to the gathered body of Christ. See, Paul is not just speaking to individual Christians and telling them to be careful how they walk out there in this evil and wicked place. He's talking about our life together here, that we need to be careful how we walk, even as we contend with sin among us. So, that means we don't have to gossip about one another, because we have the gift of confession and absolution, which is far better than dealing with problems about somebody. Instead, we can go right to them. This means that we don't have to turn a blind eye to sin out of fear, because we actually have a word that forgives sin and restores the straying brother. We don't have to harbor resentment and contempt for our brother and sister in Christ, because we've been given the one gift in the world that removes contempt and resentment: confession and absolution. You see, what does the Christian community look like? What sets us apart from all others? It's not how well-behaved we are. It's not what political ideologies we might stand for. What sets us apart is that because we are in Christ, we know how to forgive. As Paul says just one chapter earlier in this letter, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgive one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.